Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, you know, today's children, they're growing up immersed in digital media, and it has both positive and negative effects on their healthy development. And the nation's largest group of pediatricians, the American Academy of Pediatrics, is providing a new set of recommendations and resources for families about that interactive media use and our children and how we are supposed to, whether it's monitor, be involved, help them, keep them from it. What are we supposed to do as parents? And that's the big question that most of the parents are asking is, what does this mean? Because we know that screen time has changed. We know that the use of screen time in schools and such is required. So we can't always put that 2 hours of TV time, screen time, into the box that it used to be in, because it's a whole different ballgame now. And my guests today are Dr. Linda Reed Chasiakos. She's a fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics and clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. And Dr. Corey Cross, one of our fan favorites here at Radio MD. She's a pediatrician and she's a member of the executive board for the AAP's Council on Communications and Media. Welcome to the show, ladies. So, Dr. Cross, I'm starting with you, since you had a hand in these new recommendations. What is AAP telling us parents that we should be doing with the use of media today and all of the changes that have come across media for our children?
So, thank you for having me. The AAP has really been trying, in this fast-paced and ever-changing environment that parents are parenting in, to come up with recommendations that parents can actually use. And we've had to move away from the two-hour limit, not because we necessarily think that more than 2 hours is good for children, but because there's a reality that media is ubiquitous in our society. It has basically permeated everything that children and adults do, and it's almost impossible to figure out when the 2 hours starts and when it stops, unless you're walking around with a little stopwatch all the time. It's impossible. And a lot of times kids are multitasking, and, you know, is FaceTime counted? Is FaceTime not counted? Is the time that you're doing schoolwork counted? So it just became way too difficult. The one thing the new recommendations does make very clear is FaceTime does not count. So if you want to FaceTime, even if you have a little itty bitty baby and you want to show them to grandma, and, you know, they don't really get much out of it necessarily, but, you know, there is a little bit of that interaction, that's fine. Same thing, like you've got a parent who's overseas or whatever, that we're not considering screen time. That's communication time. So that we've taken out. But for the rest of it, what we've really tried to say is what we as parents have known forever is that kids need a balance. They need a very healthy balance between being outdoors, making sure they're getting enough sleep, making sure they're eating well, and making sure that, you know, they're doing other stuff besides being on their screens. And so what we've tried to do with our Media Family Plan Toolkit that's on the HealthyChildren.org website is to allow parents to walk through this step-by-step to set family guidelines, because what we need is to realize that media and tech is a tool, that we need to use it to augment what we're already doing. And when we think about that and we're mindful that we're using it to augment a situation, we're using it to augment a school project or a conversation we're having about maybe dance with our daughters, and we're saying, oh my God, there was an amazing dance scene in this movie, you've got to see it, that augments what we're talking about. And we use the technology to bring things from far away that we can't necessarily go see to right there in our kitchens or whatever. But that when we use it not as a tool, just basically as a way to kill time, then we're displacing other very important activities.
So, Dr. Cross, with you for just another minute, so this family media plan on healthychildren.org, you want parents to go there and it will guide them through how to make that plan?
Exactly. So basically what it does, it has two areas. One, you can just really get a sense of how much media is affecting your child. They have a calculator, and so it shows your whole day and the amount of hours you were at school and blah, 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 and then you put in how much screen time you have, and you can see how the sleep goes down, and then you wonder why your kids are tired. But what the real part of it is, you go in and you put in the name of your kids, you put in their age, and none of that information is saved, so it's just done, and you delete it when you're done, but it will print out for you, and it helps you. It gives you some recommendations, and you opt in. You say, I don't want screens during dinner time. I don't want screens in the bedroom. I think that screens need to be turned off an hour before bedtime because it affects their melatonin. We're not going to play violent video games. And by the way, we're going to talk about the fact that if we have these rules here, they are the when we're in other people's homes. The same rules apply. So if you're not allowed to play Grand Theft Auto in our house, please don't go to somebody else's house and play Grand Theft Auto, right? So it's really talking. It's talking about being a good digital citizen. And it's not just about rules. It basically walks you through the conversation you need to have with your kids to figure out what works, what are your family's values, and how can media and technology use fit into those family values. And it's really the same as with any sort of parenting. Like, we all know we have to have the sex talk, right? We all know we have to have the drinking and driving talk. But sometimes you don't know when it is that you have that talk. Like, what Tuesday do you sit down and have that talk? Well, the day you decide to make your family media plan is the day you decide to have that talk. And it really sort of helps parents to facilitate that very important discussion because kids need to be involved, and you do it with them, and then you print it out, and everybody has a guideline, and you go back and you check. I mean, this isn't the type of thing where you make your change and it's just going to work. You go back and you check, you reassess, and we encourage that. We say, you know what, the same rules that are good for during the year, maybe during the summer need to change, or maybe we check it again, you know, at the start of the new year, and we say, okay, we've gotten this far, how else can we improve? And it's what I really like about it, there's one section with, what do you do with your found time? So when you turn off your media and you don't have as much, what other activities is it that you're really psyched to pursue? Is it, you know, you really want a great period at the piano, or, you know what, I want to build a go-kart, or whatever it is that you want to do, you know, find something to do with that found time, because when we divert that time to something actually more productive, it's amazing what kids can accomplish.
So, Dr. Reed, as a pediatrician, and what do you tell parents about actually being involved in the kids' media? Because a lot of parents don't know if they should be friends with their kids on Facebook, or should they be following their kids on Instagram. Snapchat disappears, so are we following their stories on Snapchat? Should we be able to watch what they're doing, or do we start from a place of trust? What do you tell parents about that?
Well, I think it has to be an educational process. What Dr. Cross was saying about how families should start talking about their family media use plan at a young age and teaching their children to be good digital citizens. It's important for children and teenagers and parents to understand that there are benefits as well as risks for media use, and especially we can talk about some of the things for younger children where it's important that activities involving media, even creative activities with good educational products, such as products that come from Sesame Street. In that situation, a parent sitting next to a child, co-viewing, talking about what they see, making it a family experience really makes a huge difference in how well the child learns, and also in terms of parent role modeling, how to interface with media. As children get older, the benefits of using media to communicate, as well as to learn information, as well as to develop programs and projects creatively, the benefits are right there, but there's also risks. There's risks such as bullying, cyberbullying, such as sexting, risks of predators potentially. So it's important for parents to be aware of what their older children and teenagers are doing. I don't know that many teenagers really want their parents to be friends with them on Facebook, but if you've set a good example with regards to digital citizenship, how to avoid cyberbullying, how to reach out for help if someone reaches out in an inappropriate way, or if they witness behavior online that isn't appropriate, to reach out to a parent and have that trust to be able to talk about it. That's very important. Now, certainly, what Dr. Cross was mentioning, sleep, eat, play, read, and talk first, and then entertainment media screen time. And one way to do that, especially before the teen years where teenagers will tend to go and close themselves up in their rooms, is to have a central location where media use occurs so that there can be some supervision by parents as well as role modeling. And, of course, to have media-free zones. And one of the media-free zones that is recommended, especially when it gets to ensure that there's good sleep, is the bedroom. So a lot of families work as part of their media use plan the idea of having a central computer area and video area, and so that the activities occur in places where there can be either discrete or more directive supervision. And then after that, to go ahead and, especially at night, remove any electronic devices at least an hour before bedtime so as not to interfere with good sleep that's necessary for all young people, and makes a big difference the next day when it comes to school activities and attention. And then at the same time, to be able to perhaps pull out all the electronic devices in the family and charge them overnight in a place like the kitchen or the living room, so there won't be a temptation for young people to have the telephone under the smartphone under their pillow.
See,
but
that's an important point right there, is to take them out of their room. And if you have teenagers, as I do, they look at that sort of thing. Dr. Mm-hmm. Reed and Dr. Cross, they look at that sort of thing from parents as punishment. Dr. Cross, what would you tell a child? Let's pick a 16-year-old who is used to being laying there in bed, doing the things that they want to do on their phone, and then putting their phone down, plugging it in over on some table. But, you know, it goes zzz, zzz, like 12 times during the night, or lots, lots more. And if you say, I want to take that thing out and charge it out here so you don't hear it at night, they look at that as a huge punishment. And actually, they look at a lot of what we're discussing today as a punishment. How do we reinforce that this is a positive thing for them?
I think that you're right. I think that, you know, they're used to it, and so it's difficult. I think with any sort of behavioral change, whether it's for a child or an adult, you know, you have to have the buy-in. You know, it's like when you try to quit smoking. You have to be ready to quit, right? So you need to sort of have the kids have the buy-in. It's funny, though, when I talk to a lot of teenagers, they seem to know that they have a problem, right? If you're like, what would happen if you didn't have any rules? Like, I'd be on it all the time. I'd be on it until it turned off. So they sort of get it. They don't want the rules, but they sort of get it. And if you ask them about their parents' use, they're often like, oh my gosh, like, I wish my dad wouldn't, you know, check it, or would, like, look at me when I came home from school, or whatever it is, you know, that they want their parents to look up more. So I think that if you would approach it as a family issue and say, you know what, we all need to look up more. We all need to be more present in our offline world and give people respect. And we all need to sleep a little bit better. So this is the changes that we're making. And then you just have to stay firm. I mean, that's the hard part of being a parent, right? You just say, this is what we're going to do. This is why. And you give a reason. And then you just sort of stay firm with it. And I think having a charge, you know, in the parent's bedroom or in the parent's bathroom so that it's not bothering the parents is, you know, a better thing to do. And, you know, if you say, look, if you need it to, like, you know, check the weather in the morning or check with your friend to see what they're wearing, you can have it back, but it's not going to be there all night, because, you know, we just know that we wake up too much to see what's going on throughout the night. If we wake up at 3 a.m, we say, oh, did they get that? Did anybody like my picture or whatever? You check it, and that is really disruptive. And we know that the blue light is super disruptive. So I think that it's just parenting, but I think it's also, you know, being honest with your kids. And I had a situation recently where we were away with another family, and their family has a fourth grade boy, and he and I were sitting around talking. He was telling me about this video game he likes to play, and he starts telling me about how he plays with somebody online. And I said, oh, I said, is it one of your friends from school? He said, no. He said, it's a kid who told me he's 10, and he's telling me all about him, but he doesn't know him. And I said, does your mom know that you can play against people that you don't know? And he goes, oh, I don't know. He goes, you know, I figured out how to do it, and now I can, you know, play.
And they've got headsets, too, so they can actually talk to these kids. And I know what you're saying, because my son doesn't play video games anymore now, but when he was, he had the headset on, and he was talking to all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And so I didn't like that one bit.
Me neither. And what I said to this boy was, I said, hey, I said, do you realize that that might not be who that person really is? And he was like, what? I said, think about it. I said, there's no reason that has to be a 10-year-old boy who goes to XYZ school down the road. I said, that could be an adult man who just knows that you're a kid and, you know, wants to play with you and knows if you found out they were an adult, you wouldn't play with them. I said, people can lie. And he was, like, shocked. And I was like, I think we need to talk to your mom and tell them that, you know, you're playing this way, and maybe she can set up a group of people that you know and you only play with them. I said, because it makes me feel a little uncomfortable that somebody could be, you know, making friends with you that you don't really know. And so, you know, we talked to his mom. And so the funny thing is, like, what we decided and what we talked about, because my kids are not there yet, they don't play video games like that, was if you meet somebody and they're important to you online, your parents need to know about it. And not because it's necessarily a bad thing, but because if this is somebody who's important to you, if it's a friend of yours, your parents should know about it, and you don't have to hide any of that. And I think that that's something we need to talk to our kids about, because a lot of times they do have, you know, they have access to all sorts of things that we don't even know about as parents. Like, she had put the game on his computer or whatever and didn't even realize that that was, you know, an option, because she just didn't know about it. And so I think kids are going to be more technologically advanced necessarily than their parents, so we have to just give them guidelines and let them know that we're here for them, but that we're also here to keep them safe.
So, Dr. Reed, are there any forms of media that you want to say? I mean, Dr. Cross mentioned violent video games, and, you know, none of us parents, we like to see our kids playing those, none of them. But some of these other ones can, and you mentioned bullying before, they can lend themselves to some unusual things. And I'm just going to give you a quick example before you answer, because my daughter was showing me a picture of a teacher's shoes that somebody put on one of their Snapchats, and they were laughing about this woman's shoes. And I said, do you realize that if this teacher gets wind of that, that's going to hurt her feelings? And she said, well, it'll disappear after 24 hours. And I said, but if she sees it or someone takes a screenshot. And that's when her brother jumped in and said, you know, she can find it. And she's like, well, she doesn't follow these people. But we actually had this discussion just last night about the feelings that could be involved if this teacher sees that some kids were laughing at her shoes, which happened to be very expensive, by the way, but that's of no matter. And the kids didn't see anything wrong with it as making fun of the teacher. But my daughter, she deleted this, you know, friend's link to the post. She realized it, and she felt bad, terrible, because she thought she
could praise you, because that is exactly a perfect example of the parenting factor, working with your daughter to help her understand some of the risks of some of these types of activities and showing her a more appropriate way to positively use social media. And, of course, reminding her of the adage that essentially nothing ever disappears from the Internet. So, yes, Snapchat, chat, something might disappear momentarily, but it's somewhere and it might come back later on. And I think that's an important message for young people to understand, especially as they grow, and then they might regret some of the material that's out on the Internet that they didn't worry about when they were younger. But again, that parent and child or parent and teenager involvement is important. And I think Dr. Cross mentioned one other excellent point, which is that we have to model good digital citizenship, and we have to model a preference for moving away from unhealthy activities, including burying our own interests in smartphones, et cetera, and moving towards our children. Young people want, even teenagers, want to spend time with parents, want to talk to them, want to hear from them, want to share their feelings, their experiences. And if we're over-involved in using the Internet or the smartphone, or if we're not spending time, or if we're not helping our young people engage in activities that are healthy and help them feel good, such as physical activity, healthy sleep that makes them feel alert to enjoy school, a phone-free zone at the dinner table, all of these activities that really are valuable and that teenagers and younger children appreciate. So the parent's role is really, really important. And I commend you. You handled it beautifully.
Oh, yay. Well, thank you. I'm so glad about that, because it really did upset me. But I was lucky, because my 16-year-old son jumped into it. And kids don't realize today, ladies, that also some of the things they're putting on stick through to college. And as you say, Dr. Reed, these things don't necessarily disappear. And colleges are able to now look at Facebook pages and Instagram and see what these kids are up to and whether or not they want them to be a part of their collegiate community or not. So, Dr. Cross, I'm giving you the last word here.
That's one of the reasons why I think, though, telling your kids whether you actually look at it or not, that you're a friend and you want to be where they are on social media, it makes them realize that it is a public space, that it can feel very private when you're doing it yourself, but that it's a public space, and that even if it is deleted, it's probably out there in the public. It's not the same as like having a little gossip, you know, session in your bedroom and then it goes away. No, it's there forever, and we need to make sure our kids understand that. But I think that, you know, I know you want to wrap it up, so I think that the right thing for parents to think of is that times are changing, but parenting is the same. We need to be there for our kids. We need to set firm guidelines. We need to be honest and talk with them as to why we have those guidelines, and we need to make sure we make a time to address that. And I think using the Family Media Plan Toolkit is a great way for parents to start. If they have any further questions or they think that there's a problem that they need help dealing with, pediatricians are adept and able to help them with this, so they should talk to their pediatricians if they feel that this is becoming an issue that they need more help with. There are resources out there for them, and that, you know, it's something that's difficult because we're parenting in an environment that we didn't necessarily grow up in. So it's something that we need to learn how to do ourselves, not just a parent, but to use the technology and then to model that behavior for our children.
Beautiful. So great. I mean, it's such important information. And ladies, thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you for being really on these chair and these committees, because that's what's helping guide us parents. And if you pediatricians didn't get involved in this, we would not know how to go through all of these things. And it's really a shot in the dark for us, because this is, as Dr. Cross says, a new realm for us. I mean, the kids have to use some of this media time. They have to be on screens for school. I mean, it's a whole different ball game, parents. So we have to listen to what these experts are saying, take their advice. You can go to healthychildren.org and look up this family media plan. And they've taken a lot of time to sort this out for us. So I'm going on there when we're done here, and I'm going to fill in all the information and see what it says I can say to my kids, two teenagers, because that's where we have to really get involved. Know what your kids are doing. It's all about communication. And then, of course, getting outside, playing with our kids, playing games, running around, taking a walk, doing all of those things. You're listening to Healthy Children with our expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. And remember to subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review, because that way like-minded people can get involved. And parents, if you have more questions for us on Healthy Children, just feel free to send them in to radiomd.com, and we'll get some awesome pediatricians to answer them, just like Dr. Reed and Dr. Cross. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children on Radio MD. Stay well.